Morning, if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Revelation chapter 14, we want to continue our study through the book of Revelation this morning. And this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 9, and I'll read through the end of the chapter. I'm not sure exactly how far we'll get this morning. I want you to understand that this portion of the book of Revelation is taking place in heaven, and it's an overview of what's going to be coming on earth during the Great Tribulation. We're looking at the last portion, the last half of the Great Tribulation, is what's being revealed. That's what we looked at last week. And it's not going to be a pleasant time for those on earth. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the just the indignation and awful rebellion of men. If you can imagine in those days when God's judgment comes, instead of crying out for mercy, they curse God for what He's doing. It's going to be an awful day. And the thing is, God doesn't want us to be there. He desires that no man, would have to experience His wrath and judgment. He loved the world so much that He gave His Son to come not for the elect, as some Christians would say, but that the whole world could be saved. Jesus went to the cross and He took the sins of the whole world upon Himself, and all you had to do is receive the gift of salvation that is so freely given. But I want you to understand the wickedness of men's hearts, the rebellious attitudes of many of their lives, and they think that they are God instead of God. And they've bought the lies and deceptions of Satan. There's coming a day, and the Scriptures tell us, and we're going to read about it in just a moment, where men will worship a man and ultimately be worshiping Satan, who's behind the man. And it's really the unholy trinity that they're worshiping. You just stop and think, and it boggles your mind. They will worship a man. And they will worship the devil that has brought nothing but sorrow and pain to mankind. And they'll worship a false prophet who tells them nothing but lies and gives them no understanding of what reality is. The deception is so great. And people would say, why would God allow it? Because men want it. Other examples are given in Scripture, and we see at the time that Moses came to Egypt, the vast majority of the Egyptians, there was a mixed multitude that came out. There were some people that got saved out of Egypt, by the way. But the vast majority of the Egyptians didn't want to believe in spite of everything they saw. Pharaoh knew in his heart who he was fighting against, but instead, he'd rather curse God than give in. And that's where many people are today. There's talking about a day coming where they're going to give you a mark in order to buy and sell. I want to tell you, they're getting us ready right now. And I'm not saying this to just fear you, cause fear to come, but I'm just telling you, they say there's a food shortage coming this year. This is a contrived food shortage, just like this virus has been a contrived virus, just like this pandemic has been a contrived pandemic, just like these vaccines are contrived vaccines. The whole thing has been done to control and manipulate and instill fear in the hearts of people so that they'll respond to those that view that they have control and power, and I believe many of whom, if not all, have sold their soul to Satan. Bill Gates came out with a patent for the invisible tattoo. I don't know if that's going to be the mark of the beast. Could be. Because he says what it's designed to do is take all the information about each one of you here and put it onto little tiny microscopic nanoparticles, and they inject these nanoparticles into your hand, or they could put it in your forehead. And what they will do is that the person, you will not be able to see those particles, because that's why it's called the invisible tattoo. But this will carry all the information that you have about you in this tattoo. It'll carry all your economic information. It'll be connected via the cloud to all of your economic accounts. It'll have all your health information. It'll have all of your, everything about you will be in this tattoo. And he's saying it's going to be so wonderful because it'll prevent theft. It'll prevent people. You can just go to the store and what you do is stick out your hand. They wave over a scanner and you can buy your products. You don't have to worry about somebody stealing your credit card, stealing your information. I guess you have to worry about cutting off your hand. But I want to tell you it's there. Bill Gates is an evil man, and this has been designed for a purpose. I want us to read in chapter 14, verse 9. Chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." I just pause there. I just want you to stop and think about that. They're going to be tormented in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and they're going to experience the indignation of God and the torment for eternity, and they will be able to understand did not have to be there. Do you imagine how much of a torment that is? They did not have to experience that because the Lamb of God has been their presence, but they cannot go to Him now. It's too late. It's too late. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. This is not like many people say, oh, what happens when you die? You just turn to dust, right? No, your body may decay, but your soul and spirit live on, either in Hades, awaiting the day of great white throne judgment, or in the presence of the Lord. Depending on if you're a believer or not a believer. Depending on if you've given your heart to Christ or haven't given your heart to Christ. It's very sad when we read this. It's eternal. Their damnation and judgment's eternal. Here is the patience of the saints. There are they that keep the commandments of God and faith and the faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them." And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in the heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this morning. Sobering things, but hopeful things for those that love you. And a reality that justice does exist. Righteousness is real. Holiness is yours. And Father, no matter how wicked our adversary is and how he desires to deceive and draw men into this eternal damnation with him, may we realize you are in control. Speak to us, we pray, this morning through your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of people today say, what's going on in the world? ICR had an article in their last edition written by Randy Galuza, who is now the new president of ICR with the passing of Henry Morris IV. And he wrote in there, what's going on in our world today? People are putting their trust in men. And he says, men are coming and they're saying, you need to respect and trust me simply because I am who I am. I've got credentials, you see. And he talks about a consensus, a science consensus, and we no longer look at truth and facts, but we just live our lives by whatever they tell us is the consensus. I think it's interesting if you look at what's going on in the news. The flip-flopping has been so great, you can't hardly keep up with it. First, you're not to wear a mask, then you wear one mask, then you're not to wear masks again, then you're to wear two masks or three masks, or maybe four masks would be better. Then everybody's to get the vaccine, the shot. But then all of a sudden they're finding out that Gibraltar had 100% of their people vaccinated by the end of April, and they've got the highest COVID Delta rate of any nation in the world. They're finding out that those who have been vaxxed have a greater chance of getting the Delta variant and also passing the Delta variant on to others. So what are we supposed to believe? The Bible? Because men will come to deceive you and to destroy your trust and hope so they can control you. How does Satan control people? How does Satan control people? You ever stop to think about that? How does Satan control people? By fear. By fear. He will manipulate you and control you by fear. You find out you're ill. You find out you're sick. Our natural tendency is to become fearful, right? Because I might die. He's got you right where he wants you. Fear. The Bible tells us we have nothing to fear. I just want to share a little bit. We were talking about this in our adult Sunday school class this morning about the life of Abraham. Abraham was a man who walked by faith and wasn't motivated by fear. As we were looking at Abraham, he was facing all kinds of situations in his world, many of which we're facing in our world today. He didn't have guys running around threatening to come to your door with guns and force you to get a shot. He didn't have people trying to confiscate your bank accounts while they're giving you a bunch of money. He didn't have people trying to take over the whole world like they are today because they have the electronic means and the capabilities to do it that have never existed before. But guess what? Abraham lived in a day, in an age where he faced the same Satan, he faced the same wickedness, he faced the same idolatry that we have today. If you study Ur of the Chaldees, Ur of the Chaldees was a nation that was filled with the occult activity. It was what was left over from the Tower of Babel. It was in that region. And they had the same philosophies that permeated their culture that had been in the Tower of Babel. And you'll also see that that same philosophy, which is was promoted and brought about by Nimrod, but really Satan was behind it all, and that philosophy was taken wherever men went. In Northern Europe, you had the Nordic gods, you had the Celtic gods, you had the gods of France and the Middle East. You go to Mexico, you've got the Mexican gods of the Incas, and they all have ties, when you look at it, back to the Tower of Babel. And they all have Satan as their one, and Abraham faced all of this at his lifetime. And he had a choice. Like we all have choices. His dad was an idol maker and an idol worshiper. The scriptures tell us that. He grew up in the home of someone who should have known the true and the living God, because if you look at and you do some, and this is why it's important, genealogies, they're there for a reason. Do you realize that Abraham probably lived before Shem died? And if you understand some of that, you can see that Abraham's father had been exposed to the truth. Abraham's father had been exposed to the truth. But yet he chose not to believe it. Just like most of the people in the Ur of the Chaldean region chose not to believe it. And Abraham was called by God, I'm going to take you and I'm going to take you to a land that you don't know anything about. You've never been there. And this land was 400 miles from Haran, and Haran was, I forget how many miles from Ur. Because they first went to Haran with his father. His father wouldn't go any further. God said to Abraham, you need to go. And you need to leave everything you've got and go. Guess what Abraham did? He left everything he had and went. He took his possessions, his servants, his wife, and his nephew. Everything else stayed, the rest of his family. Everything he'd known his whole life. And he went. He knew he was going to the land of the Canaanites, but he didn't know where in the land. He didn't know what God was going to really give to him. And he realized that during Abraham's life, he never ever saw the fulfillment of the promise that had been given to him. But he went. Now, I want you to flip forward to us today. We have been promised the same thing that Abraham has promised. A city whose builder and maker is God. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Abraham was looking as he went to Ur of the Chaldees. He wasn't looking for a city built by man's hands. And he wasn't, to the Canaanites, when he went to the city, to the land of the Canaanites, he wasn't looking for a city built by God's hands, by man's hands. He's looking for a city built by God's hands. And you and I should be doing the same thing. I want you to stop and think about the age in which we're living. It's so easy to get so enthralled with everything that we're familiar with. And so can do we really believe about that which we don't see and don't know. So just as Abraham walked by faith, you and I are called to walk by faith. Because we sit in a land. We're familiar with the houses we live in. We're familiar with our families. We're familiar with our neighborhoods. Many of us have lived in the same cities for years, in the same portions of the country for years. We've experienced the same types of things going on around us for years. And all of a sudden, God tells us, get ready, because your moving day is coming. And you know, there's a lot of Christians today going, but Lord, do I really want to move? Can't we just straighten things out a little bit around here? But I want you to understand, Abraham understood he was going to a city that was a lot better than any tent he lived in the land of Canaan. The Bible tells us that the rapture could occur at any moment. We studied that on Wednesday night in the book of Galatians, and also we went back to Thessalonians. And it says, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, is such a small unit of time, it can hardly be measured. So in essence, you and I can be sitting here, and all of a sudden the trumpet sounds, we're gone. And we're in the presence of the Lord. Is that something to fear? The answer is no. How many of you have aches and pains this morning? I see most of the hands are going up, the little kids aren't. No aches and pains. How many of you have experienced death of a loved one? I've seen my dad die, seen my mom die, seen my grandparents die, seen my nephew die. I'm going to a place where death doesn't exist. Why do we fear it? Why don't we have the hope of Abraham and the faith of Abraham? He called Abraham to stay on this earth for quite a while, longer than any of us will live if the Lord tarries. And Abraham stayed. And Abraham was a witness to the Canaanites. Abraham was a witness that his nephew was not to the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham showed to a world that was in rebellion against him the reality and the existence of God, and he showed it by his life. And I know that's why God's leaving us here. Now I want you to understand, we're coming to a crossroads, and unless the Lord could do what the Lord wants to do, the Lord could cause a great revival to come, the Lord could show mercy and cause this whole one world reset that's been put in motion, which is really a bringing about of the one world government, one world economy, and one world religion that the Bible speaks of, and you've got Canada totally on board with it. You've got the U.S., about half the people in the U.S. are on board with it, and they're doing everything in their power to push it through. But God doesn't have to let it come if He doesn't want to. But the answer is, are we prepared? If it does come, are we ready for the rapture? Are you His child today? That's the first question. Because if you're not His child and you're sitting there because of something that's happened in your life, and I'm not going to believe in a God because something bad happened in my life or something happened here or there, that's real foolishness. That's Satan's got you right where he wants you. Filled with fear, filled with despondency, filled with a lack of hope. The Bible tells us in the passage we just read this morning that there's an angel that's going to come and he announces an event that's going to be on earth. And that event is the culmination of the Great Reset. Where in order to buy and sell, you will have to have the mark of the beast, which is the Antichrist, the ruler of the world, and Satan behind him. Now, I want you to understand why God's indignation is against people who take this mark. It's because they have no trust in God. Elon Musk, brilliant guy. Did Elon Musk, know who Elon Musk got trust in? Elon Musk. He built a rocket in this last, he's got a rocket and he plans on moving to Mars. The guy really does plan on moving to Mars. And so he's testing this rocket and he's selling rides to space and all this stuff. And then also Elon Musk, along with some other people, have said that they plan on living eternally by being able to hook up their brains to computers and put them in the cloud, and then they'll be able to have their emotions and their thoughts and who they are. It'll be in the cloud, and then they can, in other words, they're going to be God. Now, my Bible tells me there's only one way to have eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. My sins have to be forgiven. And unfortunately for Elon Musk and the others that are in his crowd that want to believe that, they're not going to make it on Mars. They're not even going to make it on the moon. And they're sure not going to have eternal life apart from Jesus Christ. But what they're going to do is they want to control the world. Now I want you to see what's happening in our world right now. How would people take... I remember a number of years ago we were meeting down on NP Avenue and we had street people coming and we had these guys that come and they'd been going to missions for years and they'd heard about the mark of the beast and evidently somebody had been preaching through Revelation at the mission when they were there. And this one guy, he was a little under the control of alcohol when he was speaking, but he's going, "I'm going to fight. I'll fight the beast. I won't take that mark." I'm going, "Oh man, you're ready. You're going to be one of the first ones to go to take it." Because you don't even know what it's about. But I want to tell you, we're being set up to take the mark of the beast right now. The things that are going on right now in our world are to do this. I said I really view it as a contrived food shortage because I was just telling some of you, I work in the window business. We had some sliding doors. I didn't know they were coming from China because the architect approved this one manufacturer and the manufacturer is from L.A. I thought they were made in L.A. All of a sudden, my doors aren't showing up. I call my manufacturer and he says, "Oh yeah, they're on the ocean." I said, "You're in L.A. What ocean are they on? Pacific? Okay, they're coming from China, right?" "Well, yeah." And so for the last month, I've been being told that they're going to arrive. They're going to arrive. On Friday, I was told they're going to arrive. They should be here next week. But there's not a shortage of doors. There's a shortage of getting doors to where they need to be. There's going to be a shortage of food. There's not a shortage of food, but there's a shortage of getting food where it needs to be. This was evident a number of years ago when we went and heard Francis Anita Schaefer speak in Fergus Falls, Minnesota back in, I believe it was 1982 or 1983, right before Francis Schaefer died. They were talking question and answers afterwards and somebody said, "Well, what about all the hunger in the world? What about the hunger in Africa and the hunger in India? And how do Christians..." And Anita Schaefer says, "I'll answer that one." She said, "India's got enough land, enough means to feed their people. But you look at what they believe. They believe their cows are reincarnated relatives. They worship their cows. They worship all these false gods. They have a system." So she says they will let their cows walk through their fields of food and trample them down and eat them and won't do a thing about it. And then she said, "You can go to Africa." The United States at the time had been sending a lot of grain to Africa because they were having droughts in Africa. The grain was getting to the ports in Africa. And it was being unloaded. The only problem, they had the same problem and I've got getting doors. They couldn't get grain. Because guess what? It never left the ports. All of a sudden, this grain, the president of the country or the man that was in charge would have the labels taken off that said from the United States, and he'd have his country's labels put on it, and they'd ship it to another country and he'd sell it to them. And his own people would starve to death. It had everything to do with a belief system that was against what God teaches and tells us. Motivated and driven by Satan. This whole thing is going to be set up so that people will be hungry. And guess what? If you don't believe in God, you're going to do anything to get food. I'll take the mark. Just give it to me. Look at how they lied. Just take the vaccine. You'll be safe. They get the shot. Now the countries that have the highest percentage, like Israel, their COVID cases are going through the roof. And they had like 80 to 90% of Israel's had the shot. They lie. You know what they're going to tell you next? You need another shot. Why would people ever take another shot when the first one gave them the COVID, when they got the COVID after they got the first one? Because they're driven by fear. And they want you to be filled with fear. So there's going to be people that are filled with fear. Now, I want to give you an account of a man in Iran who got saved. And I want to show you the difference between walking by faith and walking by fear. I don't know his real name because his real name wasn't given, because he could be put to death for being a Christian in Iran if his real name was given. He was an alcoholic and a drug addict. He had no hope. But one day he heard, give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Thought, why would anybody give their heart to Jesus? Another day he's listening and he's flipping through channels and he gets to the Christian radio station and somebody comes on and they said, give your heart to Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus, rather. And he flipped off that station onto the next one. That went on for about 3 or 4 times. And finally, the last time he left it on there, and this person was giving their testimony, he said, I gave my heart to Jesus, and now I have hope. Now I have peace. Now I have joy. Now I have an eternal destiny. The man cried out to Jesus. I want you to know there's a lot of people in some of the Muslim countries and communist countries that are crying out to Jesus. I wish the people in America would cry out to Jesus. The Lord came and the Lord saved him. So he got saved and he's attending a church and they're supposed to get these women have an apartment. They're supposed to get a shipment of Bibles. They're going to get 500 Bibles in 3 languages to Iran in boxes. They're going to go to these women's apartment. He's going to go over there, help them get the boxes, get them in the apartment, and then they're going to distribute these Bibles. He gets to the apartment. They get the Bibles. The boxes of Bibles are delivered. They put them in one of the back bedrooms. They've got them in the middle of the floor of the back bedroom, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door and it's the police. They come in. In Iran, I don't think they have to have a search warrant or anything else. They just come. He came in and they began to go through the whole apartment. They went through the apartment, piece of furniture by piece of furniture. He said they even found a needle that had fallen down between 2 pieces of floorboard. That's how much they were searching the apartment. But guess what they never found? 3 boxes of Bibles sitting in the middle of the floor in the back bedroom. Never saw them. How can that happen? Because we serve a God who's bigger than policemen's eyes. But they got arrested anyway. They wouldn't tell them what they were arrested for. They never asked them if they were Christians. But they arrested him. He was taken and he was put before a judge. And before that, he was told that he was going to be placed in the worst prison in Iran, where they sent murderers that were waiting on death row, and he was going to be put in that portion of that prison. His attorney tried to appeal to the judge and say, wait a second here, my client hasn't done anything worthy of that type of a sentence. They sent him there anyway. You are going to a place where people, where men have no reason to live. And he said, they controlled the whole prison. That portion of the prison. It was controlled by gangs. The policeman that put him in there tried to get a hold of somebody to say he doesn't belong here. The crime he's committed supposedly isn't worthy of being put in here. He was put in there. What are you going to do? You're a fairly new Christian. You're put into a place where you probably could be dead. So the first thing they did is they brought him over to the gangs that were in charge. And they set him down. And he said, I just don't want to lie about anything. He prayed that to God, didn't tell it to them. But you know something? They never asked him questions, or they ended up making him part of the ruling council of the gang. And then they gave him the job of distributing the water to all the prisoners, because the gangs are the ones that dispersed out the jobs. He said, when you brought water to people, they didn't give you any guff because they wanted their water. And they knew if they gave you guff, they probably wouldn't be getting water the next day. Do we have a God who is able to take our circumstances and in spite of the circumstances enable us to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish? You've got a guy that received Bibles that should have never, ever had the Bibles left, but they never saw him. Put into prison, he should have died right away, but instead he gets to be sitting on the council of rulers of the gangs and doing a job that is one of the most important jobs in that portion of the prison until he's let go. The reason I gave you that story, not to say that God will answer our prayers that way, but we don't have to fear. We do not have to fear. I want to tell you there are things coming down the road. God is merciful. God could change things. But if He doesn't, things could get kind of a lot worse before they get better. But we don't have to fear. Because we serve a God who is greater than our circumstance. And we don't have to worry about taking a mark, so we won't be persecuted or prosecuted or any of the other P's that the world might come out with. Because we've been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. And His mark is on us. And I want to tell you, what do we have to fear? Because I started this whole message out today by talking about fear. And that's the way people like to control you. That's the way Satan likes to control you. But guess what? Jesus came that you do not have to fear. He came to conquer fear. And He came to set us free. And He came to give us to what the Apostle Paul, who was sitting in his cell awaiting his death, his execution. And he could write words like, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He didn't fear. Even though he was awaiting the day that he would be put to death physically, but he knew that moment he'd be in Christ's presence. And he'd run the race, stayed the course, done what God had called him to do, and he didn't have to fear. Those who take the mark, we'll get to that next week, they've got fear. Because they're facing the wrath and the indignation of an almighty God. You don't have to fear if you turn your eyes on Jesus. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand we do not have to fear. And Lord, help us not to be filled with fear, but help us to be bold in our lives, seeking to be used by you, that we can accomplish the things that you have set forth for us to accomplish. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to 491. 491.